Well, good morning, everyone. On this beautiful and cool day, isn't it wonderful? Yay! Yes, it's always wonderful to be back with you. Well, once upon a time, there was a wonderful king by the name of David. I'm sure we've all heard of King David. He had done so many wonderful things. You may recall David is the one who came up against Goliath, the Philistine giant, and slew him, was able to drive the Philistines out and to save his people. And then later it was David who established Jerusalem as the center. It was David who brought the tribes, the Hebrew tribes, together. It was David who brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And it was David who established Yahweh, God, as the main deity in Jerusalem. So David did a lot of wonderful things. Then one day, he made a big mess. His troops were out in battle. And normally he had gone with them, but on this particular day, he stayed in the palace. And he went up on the roof, and as he was there, he looked over at the next roof, and he saw a beautiful woman. Anyone know what her name was? Bathsheba. Bathsheba was bathing, and David fell in lust. I stole that from an old Unity minister. I heard that from years ago. And he had her summoned because he was the king. He could have anything he wanted. So he told one of his servants to bring her to him. And that night, she conceived. Well, when she went to David later and said, "I'm pregnant," he had to decide what to do. So he thought, well, I'll send for her husband, who was one of his soldiers, Uriah the Hittite. And I'll bring him back from battle for some R&R, and he can be at home with his wife. And it will be thought then that she conceived from that union. Well, when he brought Uriah back, Uriah felt badly because the other soldiers were still in battle. So he slept in the doorway. He would not go in to his own home. So that plot didn't work for David. So he decided that he would have to get rid of Uriah. So he had his general send Uriah to the front line, knowing full well that he wouldn't return. Well, indeed, he was killed, and David married Bathsheba. Well, Nathan, the prophet, who actually anointed David as king, came to him. "What have you done? You have been so blessed by God, and look what you have done." And it was in that moment that David made a decision. And what was before him is that he could either avoid this, not deal with it at all, or he could choose to try to clean up the mess, to try to make amends for what he had done. So he asked for forgiveness. He repented and asked for forgiveness. So now, those two words. When we hear those two words in Unity, we interpret them a little differently than perhaps others. Repent just means what? Change. That's all. You know, it isn't some ominous word that some of us remember from the past. And to forgive means to give for, to give up this mess or whatever for something better. So he made that choice to change and to forgive, to ask for forgiveness, to forgive himself. And from there, we have David doing many wonderful things. It is through David, his second son Solomon, who built the first temple in Jerusalem. And it is David who is revered in Judaism, that through David's line will come the Messiah. And of course, Jesus comes from the lineage of David. But I wonder how many great things he would have accomplished if he would have decided to avoid instead of clean up his mess. So what about us? Going through life, doing everything we're supposed to do, and then all of a sudden, we make a mess. Or at least I do. Anybody else here ever make a mess? Make a mistake, trip up, whatever we want to call it. Well, I think we all do in some way, and it could be in a number of ways. We all make our own messes. You know, perhaps we've hurt another person, our relationship with someone. Perhaps we've taken something that isn't ours, whatever that might be, that mess that we've created. And that we too then have options. We can either avoid it or we can go about cleaning it up. So why is it that we often avoid things? Well, I believe it's because dealing with stuff is painful often, isn't it? It's painful to look at things. And then also I believe that sometimes things go so long and so far, it makes it more and more difficult to clean up the mess. There's a story of the wise teacher who took his class out to the woods to teach them a life lesson. And they stopped, and he pointed to a little twig. And he said, "Go pull up the twig." Well, they went over and pulled it right up. They went a little further, and the teacher stopped, and there was a bush. "Pull up the bush." They went over and pulled it up. It was fairly easy. They went a little further, and there was a larger bush. "Pull that up." Well, it took several of them and a lot of energy to get that one up. And then they finally came to a tree, a small tree, and he said, "Pull that up." And of course, with the amount of students there, it was impossible. They could have done it, but they would have had to have more help. And so he asked them, "What is the life lesson here I'm teaching?" And it was, of course, that when things take root, the longer they're there, the deeper the root, the more difficult it is to pull them up, the more difficult it is often to clean them up. Never impossible, but just more difficult. Which is why the teacher said, "Whatever it is you're working on, do it right away before it takes root, if it's a problem." And so why or how are some of the ways that we avoid? Well, guilt, shame, blame. You know, guilt paralyzes us. Our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, talked about guilt and how it can stop us in our tracks. It almost, like unforgiveness, he said, throws dust in our eyes and we're not able to see clearly. Now, there is, of course, the guilt, the conscience that might keep us from making a misstep again, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those expectations, unrealistic often, that we put on ourselves. And when we make a mistake, that we're unable to forgive ourselves, to let it go. And then there is blaming others. I think one of the most wonderful and difficult lessons that I learned when I first came to Unity is indeed the buck stops here, doesn't it? Certainly, we get involved in the world's consciousness and can't always be totally responsible for everything that enters our life. But what we can be responsible for is how we respond to it. What do we do with it once it's there? And as long as we blame others, as long as we stop taking responsibility for what is ours, for what mistakes are ours, that certainly we're never going to be able to solve them. Another way of avoidance. So then how do we step into that next place, which is to clean it up, to take care of it, to make amends, whatever we want to call it? Again, taking responsibility. The first and second how-to, I always say, is prayer and meditation. Opening up and asking, what is the next step that I need to take here? And looking at what David did, repent, that is to be willing to change. If it's something that we're continuing to do, to be willing to let it go, to give it up, to change. And then to forgive ourselves, to be able to give this up for something that we want in our life. And then the fourth thing that I think is so important is to remember that whatever mess we've made, that somewhere in there, there is a blessing and a teaching, right? That is a beautiful teaching that we have in unity. That if we look deeply enough, we can find something in this. We can glean something that can help us in the future. I know I work with a lot of seniors. And often they've reached a time in their life where they have suffered a huge amount of losses. And there are those who have used that to help other people. That they have used it as a teaching, something that they have learned that they can sit with other people who are in grief and help them. And others, of course, who can't. But it's amazing how blessed their lives are when they're able to do that. Whatever difficulty they've gone through, to be able to use that as a teaching and to sit with others as they too are going through that. So whenever we make a mess, we have two choices. And I have to laugh when I look at the program. Open your program. Look at the title, and then look what's under it. I was laughing. It said, whenever I make a mess, I have two choices, either Lee Remington or the minister. See, look at that. But not so. We can either avoid it, or we can meet it head on. We can take responsibility. We can make the changes we need to make. We can give it up for something better. And we can glean whatever blessing there has been in that for us. That blessing. And I think it's important that we open ourselves up for that last part to be that blessing. Because we are here, as a good friend of mine says, not to just take up space. But we're here to be the hands and feet and voice and ears and love and mercy and compassion of God in the world. We are God expressing here. And we cannot be that light, that expression of God in the world, if we are carrying a lot of stuff. So to be able to be that clear and pure vessel through which God works, we need not to avoid, but to take a magnifying glass out and look and see what it is that we need to clean up, to change, to forgive in our life. And with that truth of who we are, a light in God's world, here to bring more of God to this world, let us now take the beautiful words that we speak each and every Sunday Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, anytime we meet in unity, we say these words. It's the statement of truth of what we know about God. So print it in your bulletin. Will you join me in? Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life, God the good, omnipotent.